Then he is a rare breed, this Grammaticus. He's probably had training. It doesn't make what he said true.
Then why say it? Why that specifically? I went over it in my head and could find no legitimate reason for the nature of this lie. A dozen other stories would have been more effective for any other legionary. But he chose specifically to tell me this, as if he knew it was what I, and only I, would want to hear.
Then there is your answer. He's a psyker. Even we can be read by telepaths. Evidently, he's a powerful one.
Riak was there throughout. If my thoughts were being read, he would have known. So I ask, how?
I don't know. But does it matter? I know you haven't forgotten what happened at the drop site. The brothers were lost. The only survivors are those warriors who boarded ships. I saw Vulcan engulfed in conflagration. It killed Scar, and it most likely killed the rest of our kin, too. This mortal knows he is in trouble. Likely he is from one of the cults, a defector or a supplicant. He wanted to spare his life. He would have said anything to keep us from silencing him.
Is that what we are now, murderers?
We are warriors, Atelos. You and I, peerless amongst them. But we are not a legion, not anymore. And we do what we must to survive for our own protection.
But to what end? Numion urged him. If there is no hope.
To the only end left to us, brother. Vengeance.
No. I have to believe there is more than that. I do believe it.
Leodrak smiled, but his mood was melancholy. You always were the most devoted of us. I think that's why he made you captain, Artellus. It's your spirit. It never falters.
Further debate would have to wait for another time. They had reached the edge of the pyre where the rest of the company, barring Hriak, Pergelen, and Shenra, had gathered in a broken circle. Numion was left alone to ponder Leodrak's parting words as the other salamander took his place in another part of the circle. But he was unconvinced by any of the arguments he had heard, and hoped the human would survive so he could understand the full truth of what Grammaticus knew. With Kigosi igniting a torch with the dulled fire of his flame gauntlet, thoughts turned to the imminent cremation. Not only Uzak and Helon, but Sharka also lay in silent repose at the summit of the pyre. All would burn, die the warrior's death. For the sons of Korax, tradition demanded they be divested of all trappings and left for the birds to pick clean. But tradition was in short supply, and fire was readily available. An even compromise was reached, so all three would become ash together. As Kigosi knelt down to light the base of the pyre, he began to incant words of Promethean ritual, as described by Vulcan in the earliest days and adopted from the first tribal kings of Nocturne. This recitation spoke of ending and the return to the earth, of the circle of fire, and the belief in all nocturne-born salamanders of resurrection and reincarnation. The mood was somber. Heads were bowed throughout, helmets clasped under arms, the eyes of the sons of Vulcan burning with sober intensity. As the fire grew, quickly burning through pallet stacks, wooden beams, and broken furniture the company had scavenged for the rite, so too did Kigosi's voice grow louder and more vehement. The final verses were spoken by the throng, and interspersed with words spoken by Avis, of the raven taking flight and the great sky death that was the sacred rite of all Korax's sons. The blaze swallowed the warriors swiftly, burning hungrily through the gaps in their armor, made all the more intense by the measure of promethium dousing the pyre before it was lit. This was a sacrifice. It would mean Kigosi and the other pyroclasts would have to share the remaining ammunition, but all deemed it a worthy cause. Until the moment when the ritual was ended, Damada stood apart from the circle and looked on stoically. When there began talk of bonds deeper than blood, forged through mutual suffering and the shared desire for retribution, then he rejoined them. The pyre shifted and cracked, fell apart under the weight of the armor at its summit and the wood slowly disintegrating beneath. A few seconds later, it collapsed in a flurry of scattered sparks, the flames flickering dulcetly as a narrow pall of smoke rose into the air above. Ash was falling, and it covered all the legionaries on the factory floor in a fine grey veneer like a funerary shroud.
"And so it is done,"
intoned Kigosi, and a moment of silent reflection prevailed. It was broken by Shenra emerging from the infirmary. The tech marine looked less like he'd been operating and more like he'd been in battle.
Both, in fact, were true.
From his place in the circle, Numion turned, his eyes intense and pressing for an answer. Shenra gave him one solemnly.
"He's dead. The human didn't make it."